Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 9th. A new campaign is calling on Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to get down off his high horse and to honor a deal made to protect sage-grouse habitat. Eric Galatis has the story.
A new television and online campaign is calling on the U.S. Department of the Interior to honor a deal made by the federal government to preserve critical sage-grouse habitat that also supports mule deer, pronghorns, elk, and hundreds of other species. Suzanne O'Neill with the Colorado Wildlife Federation says local and state leaders worked with ranchers, industry groups, hunters, and other conservationists for almost a decade to find common ground.
Both the state and the federal plans represent a hard-won agreement that offers practical solutions. Coloradans really expect the years of work to be honored by Secretary Zinke and the Department of Interior.
Sage-grouse populations have declined by as much as 95% from their historic levels, and a plan was put together by a host of stakeholders to keep the bird off the endangered species list. Secretary Zinke pulled those plans for review after industry groups complained that they overestimated the impacts from energy production. Walt Gasson, a lifelong hunter and conservationist, stars in the new ad. He says the best solutions to any problem come from working together and notes the sage-grouse plan was a result of good old-fashioned kitchen table problem solving. Gasson says he hopes Zinke will stand by the deal that keeps the sagebrush sea open for multiple uses, including hunting, recreation, grazing, and extraction.
What I am against is decisions being made for one interest at the expense of all the other interests. And 40-plus years has convinced me that when one interest exerts dominance over all the others, my family loses.
The ad campaign, produced by the National Wildlife Federation, will run in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Nevada, and Washington, D.C. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
A bill that would allow people who already have a handgun to conceal carry without a permit has cleared the state Senate on a party-line vote yesterday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Senate Bill 97 wouldn't require people to get a separate permit to conceal carry. Republican Senator Tim Neville of Littleton is the main sponsor. He says it's not about limiting or adding more guns.
This bill has to do strictly with the rights of law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms and how they can proceed in those activities.
Democrats say it's the wrong time to make it easier to conceal carry. Senator Rhonda Fields of Aurora says getting a permit is important.
Firearms are getting more and more sophisticated. Why wouldn't we want to make sure that someone's comfortable carrying that gun?
The measure now heads to the House, where Democrats have already defeated other GOP bills to loosen gun restrictions. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And in other news from the state house, a bill promising income tax cuts at the state level did not advance in Colorado's House State and Military and Veterans Affairs Committee yesterday. Eric Galatis has the story.
Colorado residents won't be doubling up on tax cuts this year after a Colorado House committee failed to advance House Bill 1203 on Thursday. The measure, following in the Trump administration's footsteps, would have lowered the state income tax rate from just over 4.6% to an even 4%. Carol Hedges with the Colorado Fiscal Institute thinks the legislative committee made a wise decision to stop digging a budget hole for the state.
Our communities are already struggling because our public investments aren't supporting schools, transportation, and higher education in ways they should. And by saying no to Bill 1203, at least we won't have a bigger problem to deal with.
The bill was co-sponsored by brothers Senator Tim Neville and Representative Patrick Neville, both Republicans representing Front Range communities. Proponents of trimming the tax rate point out that Colorado is projecting a budget surplus and argue that allowing workers to keep a bigger portion of their paychecks would boost the economy. Hedges says the state can't afford to change the rules just because the economy is on the upswing. She notes the measure would have cut more than $1 billion from state revenues at a time when Colorado is behind on some critical public investments. Hedges adds the economic impact of workers keeping a few extra dollars in their pockets pales in comparison to the benefits of putting money to work in public infrastructure and services.
When we come together and pay for schools and invest in transportation. Those reap real benefits to the overall economy, and that's the point of having taxes, things that we do together.
She notes legislators are considering at least 13 other bills promising tax credits or deductions, which Hedges warns would also decrease state revenue and make it harder to invest in housing, health care, higher education, and other public needs. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And in a final note from the state legislature today, for the second time in 3 weeks, a Senate committee has given overwhelming support to a bill that would provide long-term funding to Colorado Parks and Wildlife. According to a press release, first, the Senate Finance Committee unanimously passed the Hunting, Fishing, and Parks for Future Generations Act on February 13th. Then, this past Tuesday, the Senate Appropriations Committee endorsed the bill and forwarded it to the full Senate for consideration. The bill's progress contrasts to last session when a similar funding bill died in a Senate committee. This year, senators are crediting Parks and Wildlife for conducting exhaustive statewide public outreach and using the feedback to resubmit an improved proposal that lays out specific ways money would be used, such as fixing deteriorating dams, recruiting new hunters, expanding conservation efforts, and looking for ways to increase outdoor recreation opportunities for all Coloradans. By 2025, Parks and Wildlife forecasts budget shortfalls of $30 million annually for wildlife and $11 million annually for parks. Unless it is able to address this funding shortfall, the agency's work on habitat conservation, state park operations, and wildlife management face a tough future. The Future Generations Act was heard on the full Senate floor yesterday. And in a Friday sports note, the high school baseball season is underway, and several teams in the listening area look to have big seasons. In the first online poll of the season, 2A defending state champion Paonia was ranked number one. The Eagles will be led by the senior battery of pitcher KJ Sirianni and catcher Jaden Miller. In the same poll, Hotchkiss was ranked number eight in the state. The Bulldogs have two quality pitchers leading the way this year in seniors Jonathan Gonzalez and Eli Kirk. Delta's baseball team is ranked number 8 in 3A. The Panthers will be tested right at the start of the season as Delta goes to Paonia for a game next Thursday. In 1A baseball, defending state champion Nucla starts the season off ranked number 3. Nucla plays both Paonia and Hotchkiss back-to-back on March 31st. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.